Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
It's time for the last word of music with Dee Reddy and John Cadell. And let's start by talking about Taylor Swift, because the new album is meeting with some very mixed reviews. Why is she going out of favour, Dee?
I actually think, Matt, that a lot of this is to do with how long can somebody sustain that level of popularity and goodwill. She's had it for a very long time. It took her right through the Eras tour. And I think possibly with just the onslaught of releases, you know, movies, deluxe albums and all of that, people are just a little bit jaded with her at the moment. I don't necessarily think it's entirely fair. I don't think that I quite like the new album. I prefer when she's doing the poppier stuff. So I do think there's a huge element of this that is just the how high can somebody go before the world starts pulling them back down again.
Let's hear a little bit from the new album, The Life of a Showgirl. Let's hear one of the tracks from that. This is The Fate of Ophelia.
I heard you calling on the megaphone. You are quite the pyro. You light the match to watch it blow. And if you never call for me, I might have drowned in a melancholy. I swore my loyalty to me, myself, and I right before you lit my sky up. All that time I sat alone in my tower, you were just honing your powers. Now I can see it all. Late one night, you took me out of my grave and saved my heart from the fate of Ophelia. Keep 100 on the land, let's see the sky. Pledge allegiance to your hands, your team, your vibes, secure weather.
So John Cadell, The Guardian described it as dull razzle-dazzle from a star who seems frazzled. Now, could it be that Taylor Swift has been judged to higher standards? Or could it be that actually that if she wasn't Taylor Swift, we'd be paying very little attention to a mediocre album?
Well, both very good points, Matt. It's hard to know. I mean, Taylor is nothing short of a phenomenon. And given her back catalogue and her pedigree, I think, yes, people expect her to release the album of the year every time she comes out with an album. Every artist worth their salt has one or two duff records in their back catalogue. I'm not saying the album is duff by any means, but it's not an instant classic. It's grand. I think the thing with Taylor Swift is she's running the risk of becoming like Phil Collins in the 80s. She's everywhere all the time. And I just wonder, as you mentioned, are people getting a little jaded? And is that impacting on their reception to anything new that she releases?
But Dee, are the great albums ones that you immediately love on first hearing? Because I know some of my favourite albums are ones on the first couple of listens I went, not sure about that, but I'll stick at it. And then when they grow with you and you come to hear them and understand them, they're the ones that stay with you for years, even decades.
Yeah, totally. And you know, I'd argue that that's kind of ever been the case, really, with Taylor's work. I mean, she only really became an indie darling when, was it The National, John, that covered one of her albums way back when, and people suddenly paid attention to the music without, I suppose, the pop arrangement around it and realised, oh, these are good tracks.
Well, it was,
yes, Ryan Adams, was it?
No, it was definitely the guys from The National, but she seemed to get a bit more credibility because she was hanging around with people who wore cardigans and had thinning hair.
There's nothing wrong with wearing cardigans and having thinning hair, John.
I'm not saying that.
But that is actually when, I think, around the time then after that, that she started working with Jack Antonoff, who she's worked with on the last Good Few Records. And this one, she has gone back to Max Martin, who she did her earliest work with, you know, and the pop stuff that she would have been originally known for. I kind of have a theory about this one, though, that it's sort of, you know, she really did receive an outpouring of love from her fans, no matter where she went in the world with the Eras Tour. And I kind of wonder, having seen what the fans responded to when the poppier songs came on, was this part of a kind of, you know, I don't need to win over the cool kids in the indie magazines anymore. I want to make something for my fans, and I want to make something that speaks to this happy moment that I'm in my life.
But Dee, what about the argument I've also seen made that she's still writing like she's a lovesick teenager or a young adult, that she isn't showing a particular amount of maturity as she's in her mid-30s, even though she is now betrothed to be married and the rest of it?
I mean, I think we, whatever lyrics she writes, they are pulled apart. I mean, the one that's rumoured to be about Charlie XCX, people had actually screenshotted sleeve notes from the album and were discussing that before the thing had even come out yet. I don't know that I agree with that. I think that's kind of putting too much on her as a human as opposed to as an artist. Most of the really good lyrics that are out there, depending on the mood you're in, if you said them out loud, they'd be a bit scarlet.
Are herself and Charlie XCX bitching at each other?
I find it difficult to think that you care, Matt.
But no, sorry, as I was reminding people earlier, I actually, when I was at the Taylor Swift concert in Croke Park, whatever how many years ago it was, Charlie XCX was the support act. And I remember coming out saying to my kids that I preferred Charlie XCX.
So you started the feud.
Yeah, there you go now. It's actually one of my favourite songs of the album, to be honest. I think it's got one thing that's interesting about this one is I feel like her lyrics definitely have a bit more bite to them, despite it being a happier album. But yeah, I'm sure it's exhausted being referred to as a boring Barbie, let's face it.
And of course, this album comes out in October, The Life of a Showgirl, and then the announcement yesterday, John, that this documentary about the Eras Tour is going on as part of a 6-part docuseries, yeah. Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, The End of an Era, starting on Disney Plus on the 12th of December, and the simultaneous release of a new concert movie as well.
Yeah, and that's the danger I think she faces. The fans can't get enough, nor will the Swifties ever be able to get enough because, you know, they idolise her. But it's the other people. It's the ones who don't want her sort of in their face all the time, who are going to get jaded. And, you know, who there will be, if it hasn't already started, I think it's inevitable that there will be some kind of backlash against her just because she's always there. She doesn't seem to disappear for a year or two to get herself together. She's been in our, you know, she's been a click away for at least the last 3 years. And I just wonder, are people just getting a bit tired of hearing about her all the time?
So maybe would it be a good idea for her now with all of these releases for the rest of 2025 to go away for a while maybe, do you think, Dee? Or will she spend next year touring the new album?
I mean, it's hard to know. She does seem like a bit of a workaholic. I can't imagine she's just going to disappear into the background. And then, of course, you have because I think somebody wrote something about like that about her, you know, oh, she's going to go off and get married and stop making music now. And she was actually quite insulted by that, which is, you know, fair enough. But I do think, yeah, like no one needs to sustain the level of output. Although I will say I was pleasantly surprised by how short this album is. It's the shortest she's ever released. But no one needs to sustain, and also to dominate the charts with such, you know, it's kind of unrelenting at this stage because of those aforementioned, you know, deluxe versions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I do think do take a break. Absolutely. Go off. Have a nice honeymoon. You can certainly afford it. You've got the private jet lined up. So why wouldn't you?
OK, let's move on to other things. John, you or I are old enough to remember a song, Video Killed the Radio Star from the 1980s. Mm-hmm. The Buggles, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah. It didn't. Right. But it does look now like YouTube is killing MTV, doesn't it?
Yeah, with the news in the last couple of days that MTV are to cease broadcasting all of their music video-based channels in Europe as of the 1st of January next year. Now, when you think about it, of course they are, because hardly anybody sits in front of MTV anymore to wait for their favourite video to come on. Not if you've got Wi-Fi and access to YouTube. Of course you don't. I'm just surprised they sort of hung around for this long. I mean, I remember back in the 90s, I remember specifically when Freddie Mercury died and MTV were doing a 3-hour marathon of Queen videos, and I wanted to record it on a VHS because you never knew when you were going to see them. And MTV was so important back in the 80s and 90s when it came to breaking artists and to helping to form pop culture for Generation Xers. But now it's an anachronism. Like, people do not go to MTV anymore to watch pop videos. What they go to MTV for is to watch Catfish or Teen Mom.
Or Geordie Shore.
And
MTV HD will remain on air, but it won't be showing music videos.
No, it's showing reality shows and their own original programming. So the M in MTV is now actually, when it comes to Europe anyway, is dead.
It was a great filler television as well,
wasn't it?
You know, like, if you came home late on a Friday night, maybe after a couple of drinks.
It was brilliant. Like, there was always something. And it used to be MTV Europe, I think, is all we had. We didn't have MTV 80s, MTV 90s, MTV Bass, any of them.
You're so much younger than John and myself. So are you a child of the MTV generation, or was it already a bit passé when you were growing up?
No, absolutely a child of the MTV generation, but maybe a different version of MTV. You know, I think in my youth was when it started to really pivot away from just kind of mostly music programming towards the reality TV shows that later came to define us. So, you know, I would have remembered watching things like Pimp My Ride or Cribs or The Osbournes.
I was just thinking Cribs was the definitive one for many people, wasn't it? MTV Cribs.
And The Osbournes, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they kind of they, in some senses, almost built the reality TV that exists in the world today.
But do you remember The Real World? Do you remember The Real World? That was the very
absolutely. Like a lot of what followed wouldn't have happened without The Real World.
Yeah.
I think as well, because they had a funny business model, which was always going to bite them at some stage, where they didn't pay royalties on the music videos, and it was becoming increasingly more expensive to produce music videos. So at some point, you know, music creators and record labels were going to realize that this was content that they were giving away for free. And if they put it up on YouTube, that they could earn the advertising on it instead of MTV. So I suspect they only survived as long as they did because of the reality TV that they pivoted to. But it certainly doesn't kind of really speak to the original ethos of the brand. Although that being said, MTV Europe was, I mean, I think one of the co-owners when it launched was Robert Maxwell, which is not exactly giving youthful, cool vibes.
Maybe that's what the M stood for.
I'm going to play actually a track, and I think I remember this has been an MTV staple. And I'm going to ask, I'm not going to ask either of you to say now in advance who the director of this was, because I would never have guessed it. But we all probably at a certain age do remember the song by Belinda Carlisle, Heaven is a Place on Earth. And try and work out who might have been the director of the music video.
Thank you.
Okay, 1987. Who was the director of that?
Martin Scorsese, I don't know. Somebody you wouldn't expect.
It was Diane Keaton.
She only did two music videos.
Who was it?
Diane Keaton, who died at the weekend. Star of so many, from The Godfather to...
Yeah, yeah, she directed that video.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Isn't it always good to let John Cadell tell him something he doesn't know?
I'm absolutely delighted.
Fantastic.
And he was on the email thread when I said that earlier. So, shows how much he pays attention.
Just show that
he
doesn't pay attention to what you're telling him, Dee.
I don't read briefs. Briefs are for losers.
We're going to take a break. Sorry, just finish your point on Diane Keaton.
Just, I was delighted to learn that when I was looking into her over the weekend.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll be back with the rest of the music with Dee Reddy and John Cadell after this. Okay, we're back with music with Dee Reddy and John Cadell. Let's quickly get to picks of the week. And Dee, tell us what your pick of the week is, please.
My pick of the week is the latest EP from Fizzy Orange. It's called Old Ones and it came out earlier this year, kind of back in the summer. But the reason I've chosen it this week is I kind of missed it at the time. I think I might have been away. But they are playing a really lovely sounding event in Dublin this weekend called Move Slow. And it's basically a whole weekend music mini festival dedicated to slow music, slow food. And I just feel like that's a perfect autumnal vibe.
So then let's hear a little bit of Fools Live for Free. There we are. That's Fools Live for Free from Fizzy Orange. What's that for a name, John? You know your love of band names.
Dreadful. Dreadful.
I suspected we might get that. Go on, tell us what your pick of the week is.
Well, I've gone for something that's being reissued.
Ah, get away.
Yeah, for the 40th anniversary of what many consider to be not their best album, but certainly their smash hit album, Once Upon a Time, Simple Minds are releasing a 5-disc expanded edition. For the first time on the vinyl, Don't You Forget About Me is included in the album. It was never on any album before.
Really?
It was released on the Breakfast Club soundtrack and never featured on any of their studio albums till now, apart from Best Ofs. But anyway, so there's all sorts of B-sides and remixes and very, very 80s 12-inch extended mixes. They really, you know, bring us straight back to 1985 and 86 when everybody was into Simple Minds back then. But anyway, it still stands up. It's a great, great album. And it's celebrating 40 years. So the 5-disc set is out this Friday.
Let's hear Sanctify Yourself.
This is the age of the thunder and rage. Can you feel the rumble around your feet? If you take one step closer, it'll lead to another. I shout out for shelter. I need you for something. Your whole world's out. They're all on the street. Turn yourself. Love is all you need. Control yourself. In your eyes, sanctify yourself.
And there we have Simple Minds with Sanctify Yourself. Tell us, Dee, about Codaline breaking up.
Yeah, very sad news. So they've announced Irish dates for next year that will be their farewell gigs. So they're going to play at Virgin Media Park in Cork on Friday the 19th of June. And then they're also going to play Dublin's Malahide Castle on Saturday, June 20th. So they've actually been together for a decade. And they've just, I suppose, made the difficult decision to kind of wind down the band. And it's nice that I suppose they're taking an opportunity to say goodbye to the fans before they do.
Let's hear a little bit of Codaline, All I Want.
See you. Yeah.
So the first of two farewell gigs for Codaline, Virgin Media Park in Cork on Friday the 19th of June, Malahide Castle the following day, June the 20th, and the tickets for both shows going on sale this Friday. John, how do you think will Codaline be remembered?
I think they'll probably be remembered as the guys who wrote the theme song for Gogglebox UK.
Okay.
Yeah, but I must say, in another life, when I was in Phantom, they were sort of kicking off and they were absolutely lovely guys, like really up for a laugh. Steve, the lead singer, is quite a shy type, but wicked sense of humour. And you have to wish them all the best. They're a really nice group of lads. So all the best to Codaline.
Okay, maybe that's where we should finish it. So in that case, my thanks to Dee Reddy and John Cadell as ever.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.